All right. Good morning. It is my delight to be here with you this morning. I'm used to having a handheld mic and I can walk around, so being stationary here is a little bit intimidating. What do you need me to do? I can pick it up? Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say how special coming back to Unity Center of Light is for me. I was trying to think how many times I've been here, and it's many, in two capacities. One, as a workshop presenter. I'm, as Maxine said, I'm the church consultant for the Eastern Region, so your ministry has been so gracious to host me several years in a row, and we bring in other churches from the area. And then I have served on the Eastern Region Board for several years, and our beloved April May has served with me for, 13, 14 years, April? And each year, we as a board get to come here and do our board retreat. So this is I'm not a stranger to this place or to many of you, and I'm just delighted to be here. You know, and I love the way that Spirit works. Probably a month or two ago, April said to me, what are you going to be speaking on? And I gave her a couple of topics, and she chose one, and I wrote it down, and went right out of my mind. And so when I was getting ready to come, I thought, well, I better pull this up and figure out what I'm, you know, what's going to go here. So when I pulled it up and I saw the topic, Let Spirit Lead, and I looked at what I was going to say, it was ironic because just last Saturday, I was in a workshop all day that was based on our calling, but it was done by somebody who was a potter. And so clay was the medium that we used. And you will see when I share with you this morning how that ties together. So I'm going to tell you this morning the story of the teacup. And some of you may know this story, but it's pertinent to set the tone for where I'm going to go. A grandfather and a grandmother are in a gift shop looking for something to give their granddaughter for her birthday. Suddenly, the grandmother spots a beautiful teacup. Look at this lovely cup, she says to her husband. He picks it up and says, you're right. This is one of the loveliest teacups I have ever seen. At that point, something remarkable happened. Something that could only happen in a children's book. The teacup says to the grandparents, thank you for the compliment, but I wasn't always beautiful. Instead of being surprised that the cup can talk, the grandfather and grandmother asked it, what do you mean when you say you weren't always beautiful? Well, said the teacup, once I was just as an ugly, soggy lump of clay. But one day, some man with dirty, wet hands threw me on a wheel. Then he started turning me around and around until I got so dizzy I couldn't see straight. Stop! Stop! I cried. But the man with the wet hand said, not yet. Then he started to poke me and punch me until I hurt all over. Stop! Stop! I cried. But the man said, not yet. Finally, he did stop. But then he did something much worse. He put me into a furnace. I got hotter and hotter until I couldn't stand it. Stop! Stop! I cried. But the man said, not yet. Is this sounding familiar? Ah. Finally, when I thought I was going to burn up, the man took me out of the furnace. Then some short lady began to paint me. The fumes got so bad that they made me feel sick. Stop! Stop! I cried. Not yet, said the lady. Finally, she did stop. But then she gave me back to the man again, and he put me back into that awful furnace. This time it was hotter than before, and once again, "Stop! Please stop!" But the man said, "Not yet." Finally, he took me out of the furnace and let me cool. When I was completely cool, a pretty lady put me on this shelf next to the mirror. When I looked at myself in the mirror, I was amazed. I could not believe what I saw. I was no longer ugly, soggy, and dirty. I was beautiful, firm, clean. I cried for joy. It was then I realized that all the pain was worthwhile. Without it, I would still be an ugly, soggy lump of wet clay. It was then that all the pain took on meaning for me. It had passed, but the beauty it brought had remained. Isn't that a beautiful story? So I want to just share a little bit about last week. So I went to this workshop, and actually the presenter was from Washington, D.C., and she's an author, and she's written on spirituality in clay. And so I have never worked with clay. I'm not very artistic. But she gave us each a lump of clay, just like what this story tells about. And we began to firm it, and we began to mold it, and we began to make little cups out of it. And it was such a joy to work with that clay. How many of you have worked with clay? You probably understand what I'm talking about. It was just amazing. So the clay story is part of what this whole talk I'm going to share with you is about. And so many of you may know this. This is scripture from Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as seemed good to him. So last week, Marjorie was showing us, she had a wheel in the workshop, and she was spinning it and creating this beautiful vessel, and then she picked it up and she just smashed it. And it was like we're all, oh. But it meant that she could do something else with it. So then, continuing with scripture, then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to think about letting Spirit have your life. Spirit can do way more with it than you can. Have thine own way, Lord, have their own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. How many times have we had that calling? And we've said yes, only to then go back and take it back again and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't quite mean for you to do this. I'm not ready for this. In other words, the clay, as it is taken from the ground, is unformed potential. It must be transformed into a usable state, and this is a process that takes time and energy on the part of the potter. And I pulled up my notes from some of the things that she said, and I want to share those with you. Clay is the memory of the earth. Everything in clay, all the minerals and everything in clay are the same minerals that are in us. We need plants and animals' life to have clay because clay needs decay. And so for us, if we look at that in metaphysically, we need to have that decaying part of us. We need to have that part of us that is dying to be birthed into something else. And how quickly do we want to hold on to the old and not be willing to let that die so something else can come forth? So this is a perfect portrait of us. We are unformed potential to spirit in our natural condition. And however, spirit sees the vessel that we can become. Therefore, the process begins that will bring us to that place of fully realized potential. All of those steps that had to go into making that teacup are steps that we need to go through as we get formed into our full potential. The potter has a singular purpose. The desire is to produce vessels that will reap a profit, that will be found useful, and that will bring honor unto himself. So when we think about that, we again think of God as the potter and we are the clay. And God is forming us and bringing us into something that is useful to carry forth God's mission. God shapes us into whatever form it chooses. As the clay, we have no right to argue. We have no right to dispute or complain. You see, that lump of clay didn't get its way when it was being molded and formed and baked, always heard, no, not yet. No, not yet. Takes me to think about when I was going through I'd been divorced, and I thought I was ready for that next relationship. Some of you might identify with this. And I kept praying, I'm ready. Bring me that person. And I kept hearing, no, not yet. And what I realized that was there was more work that I needed to do in myself before I could be ready for that next relationship. And oh, did I not want to. I wanted it to happen right then. I wanted it to be then. And part of it was because I didn't want to have to be in that discomfort. How many of you have found yourself in a place of discomfort and you just want to get comfortable again? I'll do anything. Just get me comfortable. And so we have to sometimes stay in that discomfort, just as that teacup had to. Some of us waste years of our living fighting against accepting the wisdom of God, regarding the way that God is forming us. We just keep resisting. As Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? One of the fastest growing medical industries in the world is the cosmetic surgery industry. And this really ties into, again, this notion of how we're being molded and formed. So many of us have decided that we are either too fat, too skinny, too short, too tall, too smart, too dumb, too disadvantaged, or too affluent to succeed in life. We seem bound and determined to be anything other than that which God has chosen us to be. Anything rather than being what God has chosen us to be. Scripture says we are made in the image and after the likeness of God. That means each one of us has been perfectly formed to be who we are. Why do we want to change that? Why do we want to look like somebody else or something else when we have been made in the image and after the likeness of? Could it be that the beginning of inner peace is coming to accept the wisdom and sovereignty of God and how it has made us? What would it be like if we accepted ourselves for just who we are? If we accepted ourselves for the imperfectness of who we are? Because that is where the beauty lies. And each one of us is made unique. How many people long to have the sense of joy of self-acceptance that the writer of the Psalms in 139 enjoyed? I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. May Rowland, one of Unity's early writers, in her book, The Magic of the Word, says, when we are willing to let God take over, when we surrender self-will, then we establish something eternal in our consciousness. Our willingness to let God's will be done makes a path for us. What she's saying is, are we willing to fully surrender into allowing God to have its way with us? Again, May Rowland, never does the God of love will for us anything but what it is itself. Listen to that. Never does the God of love will for us anything but what it has for itself. Absolute perfection, perfection not only in our spiritual nature, but perfection expressed in our body and radiated in our affairs. Everything that is happening just as it's designed to do. Did God make a mistake when he provided freedom of choice to his creation? After all, wouldn't our lives be much safer, successful, and fulfilling if God just called the shots? Especially in all those important areas of our life? Those ones that we struggle with to find the answer? After all, wouldn't our lives be much safer, successful, and fulfilling if we just let God call the shots? But that's not the way it works, friends. We have been given free will. But we've also been given access to that one mind. So when we connect with that one mind and let that one mind speak through us, we get the answers we're looking for. However, if it had chosen that path of making all of our decisions for us, it would not have been based on the truest measurement of love. God loves people so much that it wants the strongest relationship possible, a relationship formed on personal desire and commitment. A relationship formed on personal desire and commitment. Have you ever heard this sentinel piece of poetry? Love is like a bird in a cage. Set it free. If it is truly yours, it will return to you. If it doesn't, it never belonged to you at all. I share that so many times with people. People who are wanting to hold on, who are wanting to keep a relationship or keep something close to them, a child or whatever. And I'll say, if it's meant to be yours, it will come back. And if it doesn't come back, it wasn't meant to be yours at all. Sometimes we just have to be willing to surrender. There is a nugget of truth in that saying, and God loves us so much that it longs for us to be committed and to trust it. However, also, God loves us so much that it is willing to give us free will and allow us to use that free will no matter what the cost. I can tell you, in my 74 years, I've used that free will many times when it has cost me dearly, when I didn't listen, when I didn't take the guidance. And there have been times when I have listened, and the rewards have been wonderful. It is our will, not God's will, that keeps us from enjoying life. It is our will, not God's, that keeps us from enjoying the best of our life. And that's from Martha Spock. And another from Psalms 143. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your God Spirit lead me on a level path. Let your God Spirit lead me on a level path. And then from a song we just sang, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. All of these are telling us that there is a partnership here. And it is with the potter and the wheel. When the potter throws the clay onto the wheel and the potter start to have a relationship. And the clay and the potter begin to have a relationship. And there's a push that happens. And if the push is too strong on one, on the outer or on the inner, it doesn't work. There has to be a balance. There has to be a center point between the potter and the clay. And this is the same with our relationship with God. There has to be a center point where we are in tune with one another, in harmony with one another. And when we get off the beam and we get into self-will, is where we get into trouble. And God will let us do that. God will let us do that. But God is always there when we're ready to get back on the beam. But sometimes we have to take those detours. Charles Fillmore says in Christian Healing, the will is the man. Without absolute freedom of will, man would be an automaton. If his will were restricted in the least degree on any side, he would not be perfectly free. We know that God is the great unlimited, and man, his image and likeness, must be of the same character. Consequently, man has the same freedom that God has to act in the fulfillment of desire. As clay, we have the opportunity from the beginning of our awareness of God's inherent interest in us to say yes to his will for our lives. We all have decisions to make, and some of us have chosen poorly in critical areas of life. But the good news is that God is always willing for us to be there and waiting for us to give us a second chance whenever we are ready to take it. And a third chance, and a fourth chance. I know that. God loves us so much that we can have second, third, fourth, fifth, how many ever times it takes until we fully express our full potential. The good news is that God is much more patient with us than we are with ourselves. It is in this for the long haul. God is in us and in our situation for the long haul. God sees far more potential in you and me than maybe we can see in ourselves right now. And I know this too, that we're never, ever going to be complete until we leave this planet. We are always going to be a work in progress. We are always going to be being called into a higher level. We're always going to be in that potter's hand being molded. And that's the good news. That's the good news. Because why would we want to become stagnant? Why would we want to stop? We always want to keep pushing the envelope, getting outside of the boundaries. And it doesn't matter at what stage of our life we are at. I was just talking to Maxine before the service started. She was telling me that her mom is in her last stages of this life. And for me, I am so grateful for Unity and for Unity's teachings, because I know that is just, she's just moving on to another classroom. That this is just one of many. And so she is going to be constantly being molded in that potter's hand. And that's the blessing. That's a blessing for us to know that there is an ongoing. And I didn't mean to go there, but it's evident that we have to have that greater awareness that God is never done with us. Might be done with us here, but there's somewhere else that we're going to be used. So don't give up. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and it is waiting for you wherever you are ready and willing to surrender to it. And I want to close with this quote from Jim Rosemurgy. We are not unworthy of love. God loves us, and no matter what we do, that divine love will never cease. That divine love will never cease. God's love will be with us as we take that last, when we have one step here and one step over there, that love will carry us to the next place. God bless you.